The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
This is the Inferno Podcast. It's the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Griffin. Today's rundown brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. We've got Devin Hightower, football player, linebacker for the Blazers, coming in. Also, Jonathan Celestine, the UAB football linebacker coach, not far removed from his playing days. So we'll talk to those guys about that, how the defense is shaping up, and just life on the linebacker and defensive side of the ball. Also, UAB football obviously taking on their final home game this Saturday against South Florida. That'll be at Protective Stadium as well. The men's basketball team answered that loss to Alabama State with an exclamation point win over NCAA team High Point. We'll discuss that a little bit. And the women on the basketball floor are doing great. Back-to-back wins for them over Alabama A&M and on the road at Chattanooga. Remember, you can follow us on YouTube and social media, of course, wherever you find the podcast. Be sure you ring the bell for notifications or like and subscribe, depending on what social media you have there. We'll take a break and come back and talk to some of the guys, and Devin Hightower first here on the Inferno Podcast. Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. For our Blazer of the Week, it's linebacker Devin Hightower, a graduate transfer here for the Blazers, and pretty good career so far with some pretty big stops. You started at Michigan State, got recruited there, a native of Ohio, obviously, Cincinnati, Rhode Island, and you come to UAB. So kind of tell me about that journey so far, and it's kind of common now in college football.
Yeah, it is pretty common now, but you know, the first situation, first two schools, my coaches ended up leaving, which is why I decided to leave. So, you know, I'm just happy, you know, just helped me get into this situation, and that, you know, that I'm super grateful for.
So, yeah. Yes, sir. So why UAB for your final swan song here?
Well, you know, when I was in the portal, you know, Coach Russ and Coach Dilford, you know, we had a lot of talks and conversations that we thought this, you know, this would be the best spot for me, and then, you know, they had a plan for me to, try to be a leader and help contribute to this team as best as possible.
Has that materialized so far? I know Trent's not here anymore, but for you on the field?
Yeah. Yes, me personally, I feel like I'm having a pretty good season, trying my best to, you know, not just lead the people in my position room, but the defense as well. And is there?
Yeah, 70 tackles, I think, on the year so far, trying to help this defense get better. And, you know, new coach,
yes, sir.
Jonathan Celestine, you know, being a coach with you. So you've got to bring kind of a different dynamic, right? First-year coach, a last-year guy in his first year at a program. How's that gone?
I think JC and Coach Russ has made it – you know, easier for me with the transition, and, you know, all of us, you know, just try to make me be the best player I could be, and, you know, just help me, you know, with those attributes. And I feel like it's been working pretty well.
I'm wondering how, because we talked about how linebackers have to be leaders, right?
Yes, sir.
You come to a new team, and you still got to be a leader because of the position you play, and you're older. So how have you tried to navigate that, but you're the one of the new guys, right?
Yeah, so, you know, being one of the new guys, it's hard to, you know, have that voice at first since, you know, nobody knows you.
Yeah.
So at that point, I just try to, lead by example on the field. You know, when I make a play, like in the spring or in fall camp, people can see, you know, how serious I am about this and everything I put in to be able to make those plays. So I just try to lead by example in that aspect.
Yeah, and that's getting better. You're getting followers.
Yes, sir.
And different things.
Yes, sir.
And I know the year hasn't gone like you probably envisioned, wins and losses and different things. But how is the linebacker room? How is your play? Is it getting better, more comfortable? Is it still fun?
Yeah, I feel like the our room is great. Everybody in our room, you know, I'm really good friends with. I just don't spend time with them in the facility. It's, you know, outside the facility as well. So I think when you have that, you know, close dynamic of people, you know, just off the field as well, it really helps.
Yeah. So what do you guys do? Just hang?
Yeah, you know, hang out. You know, we go get food a lot. Like JC said, when he was here, we went bowling a few times. You know, just little stuff like that.
Yeah.
To help, yes, sir.
It's got to help.
It does.
Even on the field, right?
It does, because 100% it helps. Just, you know, being able to communicate and trust the person next to you, that could help spread that you know, that information throughout the whole defense. It really helps.
With the transition of coaches, did you feel like you had to take a step forward and be more vocal, perhaps, and kind of make sure young guys don't stray and kind of keep the boat steady?
I think I wouldn't say I was more vocal, but I feel like as a team, we kept where our feet were, and, you know, I don't think nobody really freaked out, nobody quit or anything. So I think about just staying together and make sure people in your room are okay and just make sure it doesn't just spread out and become like a negativity.
Well, obviously not, because that first week you guys upset Memphis, who's a top 25 team.
Yes, sir.
That had to be a special.
Yeah. And
defense came through.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'll remember the rest of my life for sure.
So tell me about that game and the huddle because you're going against, again, a really good really good team,
mm-hmm.
and you guys made stops, and then a key stop, what, three, four, five, six plays inside the 10? That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, like I said, that's something I'll never forget, just not even just the defense, but the whole team coming together when something obviously bad happened with the coaching staff. And just, you know, my mom always taught me control the controllables, you know, do what you could do, so... That's what we all really did there.
Yeah, and I know you're trying to get some of that magic back. So how do you see South Florida coming in this Saturday and then the final couple of games and leaving it all out there? And then this is your final two games of your college career. Has that even dawned on you yet?
Yeah, no, that hasn't even came into reality yet. I'm just trying to just finish these, not even the next two weeks, but, you know, this week. Just focus on South Florida. You know, it's a great team coming in, great quarterback, great offensive scheme. So I'm just really excited to get, you know, that game plan in today and just, you know, see where we are.
Yeah. What's your aspirations after this? You give pro football a shot or see what happens?
Yeah. That's my goal. I'm, you know, just, you know, train for pro day and just, you know, see what happens. Yes, sir.
Yeah. But if not, the marketing stuff.
So like I said, I got my degree last December, so marketing, if I would love to maybe coach too, if that might be an option.
Yes, sir. Kind of look like JC's pattern a little bit.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. What is something we don't know looking at this team that you guys have endured and that you're proud of, besides hanging together and getting a Memphis win? Is there some kind of lingering element that, you know, we wouldn't know about as fans?
I think maybe, you know, as fans, sometimes I feel like people, especially if you're not a fan of just specifically UAB, you might just look at the wins and losses or, you know, the points or anything. But I really think this team throughout the season has done its best to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, just the wins and losses might not always tell the whole story. And I'm just, you know, just proud of us.
Yeah.
Sticking together.
Which sounds corny, but it's real.
It is.
I mean, it's life.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean.
100%. You're not going to always get the outcome you want. Even you could do 100%. You could work hard, but you don't always get what you want.
Things don't always work out. And then you've got to adjust and and made different things.
Yes, sir.
So has the defense in the linebacker room gotten better as the year's gone on?
Yes, 100%. I think Coach Russ and JC Farber specifically has done a really great job keeping us together. And like you said, tackling as it got better and leading as well.
Yeah. Has it been a good brand of football? Because you've seen Big Ten level.
And yeah.
Pretty good football everywhere.
Yeah, I think the main difference in this conference specifically is just all the triple option stuff, like with Army and Navy and Rice now.
Yeah.
So that was like the biggest change for me personally.
Yeah, you're going to see that and see spread the next week or whatever.
Yeah, that's right? What I'm saying. You did doing all of that and then seeing spread the next week and then going back to it.
Yeah.
It's just.
So you got to stay light.
Yeah.
And mobile. And
you have to stay, like I said before, you have to stay where your feet are and just focus on that specific week and not try to look too far ahead.
Were you always a linebacker in high school and everything?
Yeah, I played linebacker and running back.
Running back. So both ways?
Yes, sir.
Why a linebacker?
I think growing up, I think my dad just put me in that position because I always had a nose for the football, and it was just, you know, just something I just stuck with throughout my whole life.
I realized when I was younger, it's better to hit than get hit.
It is.
Has that dawned on you?
Yeah.
When you were running back?
It definitely is.
It's just better, right?
It's just way better knowing what you're going to get.
I mean, that's kind of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Hit than get hit.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to do? What do you want to finally leave out on the field? Not stats. I mean, I know you'd love to get 15 tackles a game or whatever, mm-hmm. but these last two, man.
Honestly, I just want to leave my heart out on this field and, you know, just show this team and this staff that I genuinely tried everything I could do, my best for this team. So it's something.
I think we've seen it in your play. Good luck the last couple of weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's
Devin Hightower from Ohio. Here, it's a couple of games left for the UAB Blazers. We'll take a break, come back with more on the Inferno Podcast.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast here with our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. Jonathan Celestine, the linebacker coach, joining us here. First time around UAB, really, this year. So what do you think of the program and the team? And we'll go to your background a little bit.
Man, I'm very grateful for this opportunity, first and foremost. Very grateful that Dilfer and Coach Russ was able to interview me and give me an opportunity to be able to come here and start my coaching journey. But I'm loving it so far. I love the city of Birmingham. It's 2.5 hours from home from Georgia, so it's been great for me.
So South is nothing new to you?
No, it's nothing new.
Okay. So tell us how you think you got the job, because you came from kind of it's really your first full-time gig.
Correct.
Which is kind of cool, right? So how do you think you sold yourself and what happened?
I think my preparation and opportunity that presented for itself over time. Once I got into coaching, my first coaching opportunity came at the University of Wyoming, being a graduate assistant for my former defensive coordinator, Jace Ivell, which is now the head coach at Wyoming. So he gave me the opportunity to be able to come and learn from him. And then from there, I was able to get to the University of Virginia, which I was able to make a connection with Coach Russ, the defensive coordinator now for UAB, just reaching out to him, just trying to figure out how can I continue to evolve in the college game. And he was able to put me in contact with some people at Virginia. I interviewed there, ended up being a graduate assistant for 2 years as D-line and then as linebackers. And then once this opportunity presented itself in February, Coach Russ said, hey, linebacker job just opened up. I'd like you to interview. And I'm like, perfect. and I was well prepared over my previous stops and learning from all my mentors, then I was able to kill it, and now I'm here.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you got a jive with Rush. So tell me what you guys jive on as far as defensive philosophy.
Physicality, finishing on the ball, and swarming. You know, it's always about, most of it's about the mindset, but the physicality and violence, you have to have each and every play to be able to do it over and over and over again. Every time you step on the field, you strap up, it's enemies across the field. So you see blood and you want to, there's blood in the water, you want to kill it.
Yeah.
So it's all about that, all about finishing.
Which is hard these days, as you know, right? Because you got to practice hitting and tackling, but then there's that, you know, saving yourself for game. And to me, football's kind of scaled back, and we see a lot of missed tackles and everything. So how do you try to – and do you agree with that, first of all? How do you balance that?
I do sometimes think the game has changed, but as my backers know, as we'll talk later, but my mindset is make the week harder than it will be on game day. We're going to practice tackling each and every day, and they know that. We're going to get physical. Y'all going to hit each other. We're going to love each other, but we're going to hit each other. And that's the only way you get better throughout the whole process. Iron sharpens iron. If you don't practice tackling, then you won't get what you want on Saturdays, you know?
It's kind of common sense, right?
It's common sense. So it's like, if you're not physical during the week, don't expect to just flip a switch.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, all of a sudden, now I'm just Superman. Nah, you got to be Superman throughout the week. And then that way, it's even easier for you to be Superman on Saturday.
So you were Minnesota and the Big Ten linebacker of the year in 2016. Mm-hmm. Is that the way you were coached? Is that the way it went?
Yeah, so I was very grateful in 2016 to be linebacker of the year for the team and lead the team in tackles. I was taught by Coach Mike Sherrills, and I talked to him to this day. I talked to him 2 weeks ago. I was just always asking for tips and how I can get better. But he always held me to a certain standard, and I knew every time I stepped on the field, that's what it was. And once I put it on film, he's like, there it is. You told on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you're capable of. So every time you step on the field, that's what I demand of you. So I knew every time I stepped on the field, if I wasn't doing that, then I wasn't giving my best effort. And I wasn't going to get to be a captain of the team and a leader of the team, of the defense, and to take me as far as I wanted to go with football.
I kind of look at you, and I can tell you're a linebacker, but, you know, you're not just massive. And I think you're probably massive for what football makes you bring now, because there's so much spread, so much passing, that you've got to stop a run, then you've got to defend a pass.
Correct.
A lot. And I'm sure it evolved while you were playing. So it's a unique position to me.
I think, linebacker position, it has changed over the years. Usually backers were probably 6'3", 240, and you knew they're lining in the eye, they're running power left, power right, lead ISO, fullback dive. And then I would say during my transition in college, I seen it go from under center to spread. Because, like I said, being a Big Ten backer, I faced Wisconsin, I faced Iowa, I faced Nebraska, faced Michigan. So at that time, Wisconsin, I can remember my freshman year being a freshman getting ready to play Melvin Gordon. being a sophomore and junior getting ready to play Corey Clement. And as a senior, I'm playing Jonathan Taylor. So I've seen the I formation, and then I've seen – playing Ohio State, played Ezekiel Elliott, Cardale Jones. Braxton Miller was a receiver as a sophomore. So it was like, I've seen Anderson, I've seen I, and I knew I had to be able to stop the run and be able to cover the pass. So then, like I said, I played Iowa, so I played Kittle, I played Hockenson, I played all those great tight ends during that era. So being able to balance both is what made me a well-developed player to be able to take it to the next level.
So what do you look for in a linebacker, besides that, you know, killer instinct, obviously, but they got to have feet. You got to be able to drop. You got to be able to have closing speed. There's all kind of things.
So like you said, killer instinct. That's number one. Does he have that? But I want to see his feet. How does he move in the box? Can he move without his feet clicking together? Does he have a solid base and foundation? Where's his eyes? Is he trusting his keys? So is he seeing the back and peripheral the O line? Does he see that puller and he's able to key and diagnose right away, get over the top, be able to slip that block or use head and hands to be able to get downhill and then finish on the ball at all times. So, and then, can he tackle? Does he tackle well in space? Yes, you should be able to make a profile tackle. What I call profile is chest to chest, anything in the box.
Right.
But can he make that angle tackle outside the box? Can he track down that near hip, be able to wrap and roll, get him down in space so there's no extra yak? So those are things I look for, and then pass coverage. So Can he play man-to-man? Does he know how to break the pocket when the ball is making connection with the receiver or the tight end's hands? So those are some of the three things that I'm looking for. And then last thing is what type of character he is, because everybody can't fit in your room. So is he a leader? Does he follow people? Is he a troublemaker? Does he go to school on time? Because if he can go to school on time, then he can come to practice on time. If he's late, then it kind of gives you those key red flags that, okay, maybe he won't always be on time. So then that's somebody you got to put your thumb on.
And that position really just screams for being an alpha dog, doesn't it?
Yeah, it screams for, like I say, LBC, I break it down on LBC as leaders by choice. Like, you have to be a leader. If you're not a leader, then everybody on the defense is looking for, okay, who's gonna bring us up when, okay, they just scored 7. Who's going to bring us up and bring us back together? And like, hey, we're good. We can calm this down. We can go back, and let's go ahead and get the 3-and-out like we need to. So you always getting the communication from the coordinator, and you got to be able to spit it out to everybody no matter what the tempo is.
Mm-hmm.
So as you get that call up, get everybody set, you still got to do your job. So you're doing multiple things before, okay, now I can do my job. So you got to be a leader first and foremost.
And you guys have to be in condition, because with everybody playing fast, you have to defend more possessions.
Yeah,
it's not
correct.
The old school day, right, where you would defend 6 possessions in a game and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Now it could be 10, 11.
Especially with high-tempo teams, you know. That's why you want to preach 3-and-out, 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 but you're still going to get a lot of possessions just because of those converted passes that you don't want, unfortunately. But, yeah, you got to be well-conditioned. And then not only just for defense, but for special teams. Linebackers are going to play on each phase of the game. So I tell my guys now, like, hey, even the 2 guys who starting, you need to contribute some way and form on special teams, and then anybody else in the room need to be the best guys on all phases of the game.
So Celestine was in the NFL mm-hmm. for a little while, a couple of years with the Panthers, and mm-hmm. had practice squad things as you developed early on, but ended up with the Panthers. Mm-hmm. So you're there with Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
What do you take from that guy?
Man, I learned a lot from the time I got there in January till the fall. It was a lot that I learned from Luke, how to take notes, how to become a better backer, how to be a better leader, just the way that he held himself on a daily basis. Shoot, what to eat at breakfast.
Yeah.
Because I would say I was still in a transition period. I was only a year out from college, and I was doing better with my body management, but how to truly take care of my body and get on a regimen and make sure that I'm truly locked into the games. But definitely in the film room, I mean, we would make an install, and then he'd have 4 questions right away. I'm like, dang. I was like, okay, what is he? And then I would stay after with him and just talk to him. Hey, so what popped in your mind? And he said, just these route concepts. And I was like, so then as I continued to just learn more about the game, it all started to speak to me.
Did you know you wanted to be a coach, and that was part of the motivation to do that? Or I'm sure some of it was to be a better player too, obviously.
Yeah, it was to be a better player.
Yeah, okay.
I would say.
So coaching wasn't even in your radar.
Coaching in college, or when I first started playing in the league, it was not part of my radar. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I knew I loved the game of football, and I know it took me so far in life that once it was taken away from me, I was trying to figure out how can I give back to the game. And I first volunteered coaching my little brother's little league team, and then I coached at a high school in Minnesota called Eden Prairie High School.
Okay.
Very grateful for Coach Mike Grant. He's still there, and son of Bud Grant from
Vikings. Okay. Yeah.
But that's where I started my opportunity coaching high school ball, and then from there I realized I missed the game. I love it. I was like, I got to continue on. And then they was like, hey, try college. And I was like, And then I reached out to Coach Savell, and then he was like, I'll call you in a few months if something opened up. And then I took off from there.
So it's worked out, though.
I love it. There's nothing better else I would rather do on a Saturday afternoon in the fall than to see my guys execute at a high level. Just the preparation that they put in, to see them go out and then make the plays, or even when they mess up and I can correct it on the spot, like, hey, this is all you got to do. They go out the next series, they correct it, they get a TFL. That's what I love. I love it. And then just to see them see their smiles bright up and them celebrate each other, it makes it all worth it at the end of the day.
So I can imagine, though, when you were a really good player, obviously. You got to the league and played a little bit, and now you're coach. So tell me about the dynamic in getting guys to do what you want them to do and performing well when you were a good player. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because there's got to be some of that. I would have made that play. Come on, man. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, but I also realize everybody isn't the same person. I can't say all my backers are the same person that I was when I was playing. I try to put myself in their shoes and say, okay, he plays like this all the time. Let me figure out what can I do to be able to tweak his game to make it better. Mm-hmm. I figure out the small details and corrections. Okay, if he's missing tackles, why is he missing tackles? Okay, he keeps stopping himself a yard short. So in practice the next week, I make sure I'm going to create a drill to make sure we can incorporate him taking that extra step. And then, boom, we go to game day, he fixes it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what I was looking for. I was like, that's what you're capable of. And I think you can do that every single time you step on the field. So it's all about the details. That's what it comes down to, being detailed, oriented into what I can get out of my guys and maximize their skill set.
So from July, August, have your guys gotten better? Tell me how, if they have. I'm sure they have.
Oh, no, they have. Becoming more vocal, becoming more dominant on the field, and tackling. I've seen tackling increase from week one all the way till now. Now they're actually, I can see the confidence has grown in a lot of my players. The way they blitz, the way they handle themselves on and off the field, it's been awesome to see.
Jonathan Celestine, the linebacker coach at UAB. Finally, what's the next step for your guys? We still got a couple of games.
We do. Hey, we got two left, two guaranteed, and I want to see them empty the tank. I mean, each and every day I want to see them empty the tank, but leave nothing else out there. I want them, once that clock hits zero at Tulsa, know that everything that you prepare for this season is done with. It's all left out. There's nothing left. And then however I can help them moving forward, I want to be able to put them in the best position. They choose to pursue the league, help them find training, help them find an agent. I do whatever I can to make sure that they're successful in the next steps.
Gotcha. All right, thanks for hanging out. I know you're going to do lightning round here in a moment, too. All right, so we'll take a break, come back with more here on the Inferno Podcast.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast here with Jonathan Celestine and Devin Hightower, linebacker coach, linebacker with UAB. And we have a little fun with our lightning round here. You guys ready? You awake? Everything good?
Okay.
Since you're both from out of town, although you're Southern, you're from Ohio, this is always the best question we ask. Tell us about the food in Birmingham. And then, you know, what you like about it. We'll go coach first and then Devin.
Man, the food in Birmingham has been real good. There's a lot of wings. There's a lot of wing places. I don't know if they beat Atlanta, but it's some good wing spots, Mexican spots. I would say one of the places I like a lot is Salud. It's Salud downtown. It's a good Mexican pot.
Really?
Yeah, their burritos are fantastic.
Where is that at? Do you know?
It's just across the street from Paramount.
Okay.
So it's a nice little spot.
Yeah. So you're a wing guy?
Yeah, I'm a wing guy.
What kind of sauce?
Lemon pepper wet.
Oh, see, he was right there. Boom. Lemon pepper wet. I like the wet, too. The dry rub's kind of good.
The dry rub's good, but yeah, lemon pepper wet, and I usually get them from a Wing Plus.
Wing Plus. Mm-hmm. Okay. Devin, what do you think about the food so far here?
Yeah, no, I love the food, too. Like, it's a lot of great barbecue spots. One of my favorite ones is called Burning Tree Barbecue.
Burning Tree Barbecue?
Yes, sir.
I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, it's a new spot that opened like a couple months ago, but it's really good.
Where is it?
I'm not specific.
Downtown?
Yeah, it's downtown. Like
really?
Yeah, 10 minutes south.
What was good about it?
They just have so many options. They have tacos, wings, brisket,
For making whatever they make. Yeah. They got a lot of different stuff.
Everything, a lot of different options.
Oh, that's cool. But I'm sure you had, and we kind of overstated it, right? I mean, there's barbecue in Ohio, let's be honest. But it is different down here, right?
Yeah, the barbecue is definitely different.
Is it hard to stay away from it?
No, I don't think it's hard to stay away from it, but like, you know, just when I'm, if I'm bored or something, you know, just, you know, get away.
I got you. What else you guys like about Birmingham? And you're kind of from the Atlanta area, so it's not drastically different, it is different.
Yeah, it's not drastically different, but I will say there's a lot of nature trails that I do like. So in my spare time, when I, off season, usually when I have like a day or so, I like to find a nice nature trail nearby. So like, there's a mountain trail, Rise Red Mountain, Oak Mountain. They have different trails, and I like to get out and get some fresh air and go out there for about an hour or two and just do that. So
I did that yesterday. I live near Oak Mountain. What do you like to do? Yeah,
definitely. A difference is like the weather for sure, because back home it's snowing right now.
So yeah, you don't mind that, right?
Don't
the
mind.
Weather difference. Yeah,
no, at all.
Yeah. What do you like about the city besides food? Is there something else that grabs you, or?
Like I said, the food's really good. I think just living downtown, just, you know, just being around a lot of different spots, something else I like.
Yeah, we've had all the players, regardless of sport, that live downtown kind of love it because they've grown it up. Obviously, it's very cool. Like, you don't even have to take your car hardly.
Yeah, exactly,
Do whatever you want to do.
Yes, sir.
Give me a go-to hobby you got. Are you besides hiking, you're a music guy, you're constantly looking at film.
Constantly looking for him. But outside of that, when I'm on my own, I actually like to go bowling or roller skate.
Roller skating?
Yeah, roller skating. So being from Atlanta,
that's something you make fun of him, right?
Being from Atlanta, there was something I always grew up doing.
Going, really?
Yeah. I think I went probably twice to three times a week.
So not skateboarding, roller skating.
Roller skating.
You had to be made fun of by your...
It's actually very common in Atlanta.
Really?
Yeah. So this place called Cascade Skating Rink. I'm from where I'm from, College Park, Georgia. There's one called Skate Zone, and that's where I would go every Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And my mom, I asked every Christmas, got a new pair of skates.
Wow. So was it like free mentally? I mean,
If I'm out there,
you
I'm
just
out
not
there on,
think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like hardwood floor, and I'm free listening. Like, they have the DJ, and I feel like I'm in a whole different space. It's just relaxing.
And you still do that?
I still do it.
You found a place here?
There is one in Bessemer that I've been to in the summertime. But, So I don't have much time during the season. But off season. Yeah, I usually, I try to get out there on Friday night if I can, or Saturday, and just relax. It just takes my mind away.
That's very different. What about you?
I think, in my free time, just playing the game, the video game with my friends, playing basketball with my teammates. Or just talking to my friends back home, just something I do my friends.
Yeah, just to relax and get away. Yes, what are you taking academically right now?
So I'm a grad transfer. Yeah. So I graduated with in public relations, but I'm taking a marketing certificate right now.
Just to get something in the same realm, right?
Yes, sir.
What aspirations you got?
So both my parents are in the marketing field, so just something, just something like that.
Yeah.
Sir.
I'm not going to ask you what your aspirations are. You're already there.
not yet.
But I will ask, what was an NFL player before you got to the league? I'm sure you'd say Keekly now, but before you got to the league that you modeled yourself after, and then we'll ask Devin the same thing.
I kind of had two, but it was always the man in the middle, Ray Lewis.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I watched him run sideline to sideline, the way he hit. Oof. People over and over. It was just something I always, so like, first of all, that's all I wore was 52. My guys knew, if I got to you, it was over with. So that was somebody. Him and I would say Patrick Willis was close.
Yeah. Willis, so. Ole Miss. Who do you like?
One of my favorites is Bobby Wagner. Just because, he's not the tallest, but he uses his quickness as an advantage. So
he's lasted forever.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And could do it all.
Do it all.
Cover the pass, stop the run, which you've got to do there. You have a favorite vacation spot that you like, or?
I would say favorite vacation spot that I recently visited was Jamaica.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I went to Montego Bay on a resort, and it was beautiful. It felt very clear. Fruit was great. It was a great time.
Yeah. You got one?
Over the summer, I recently went to Cape Town.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it. It was amazing.
What did you like about it?
Just the area, you know, it was my first time being in Africa. Just it was super clean. The weather was nice. So the food is really good. Just everything, honestly.
That's very cool. Getting back to on the field, and this will be interesting with a player coach, what is the thing about the position? And we kind of already covered how you've got to be versatile. You got to run, you got to drop, you got to move laterally, you got to attack a runner. But what else beside the position is the most misunderstood thing or something people don't know about playing linebacker from your perspective, playing and now coaching it?
So I would say one of the most vital things besides the physicality is the details of how the defense operates. I think knowing where everyone is supposed to fit and who's with you pass coverage wise is very important for a linebacker, because you can say Dallas, let's say Dallas is a cover three. Okay, which safety is spinning now? Or am I buzzing out to the flat? Okay, if they run counter this way, am I spilling, am I boxing? Mm-hmm. So knowing the details of where exactly you're fitting or where everyone else is fitting around you is very critical. People don't understand how mental the game is compared to physical.
For linebacker.
Because, yes, it is a very physical game, but one wrong misfit and it's going 99 to the house.
Yeah.
So I would say the mental part.
What do you think, Devin?
Yeah, I'll 100% say the mental part too. Just not knowing, just obviously know what you're doing, but the other people around you is doing as well. And I feel like that's something that I've been trying to work on and still trying to get better with. But I think that 100%.
Gotcha. We wish you great luck as the season wraps up, both of you guys. And look forward to seeing how you do the last couple of games.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me and appreciate you for being here.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Time now for a look at Blazer Nation, the upcoming schedule going on, as always brought to you by Children's of Alabama. November 21st through the 23rd, we've got UAB Bowling at the Colonial Lanes Classic in New Orleans. Really good team UAB has this year, so they'll be heading down to the Big Easy down there for a little tournament. Also, UAB Rifle at Jack State will come up on the 21st as well. Also on the 21st, men's basketball this Friday against South Alabama at 6:30, the new home times and home tips times for the Blazers. Football, of course, Saturday, 2:00, final home game against South Florida at Protective Stadium. And then women's basketball, who again is kind of rolling right now as well on Saturday. They're at Murray State for a 2:00 tip-off there. So a lot of football, a lot of basketball going on this week in Blazer Nation. That'll do it for this week's Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin saying so long here. We'll see you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.